Welcome to the View Tourism Podcast, and I'm Koji Benton Williams. The View Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. In today's episode, the CEO of the Namibian airport company, BC Europe, tells me how the airport company is positioning itself to attract the required investment to the country's aviation sector. He is confident the newly refurbished Hosea Kutapo International Airport will not only enhance travel experience, but also act as another layer for non-aeronautical revenues. Welcome to the Via Tourism Podcast. I'm coming to you from Windhoek, the capital of Namibia, and I've been joined by a special guest. He's the CEO of the airports company, Mr. BC Europe. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me here.
Good to see you again. Last time we had a good conversation 4 months ago when I was here.
Yeah, indeed. It was great to have met you then, and I look forward to having further discussions with you.
Okay, thank you. Now, let's get started. The airports, the Hosea Kutapo International Airport, by the time I was here, I was going through under, some renovations. Walk us through what has happened now, the updates, the refurbishments, what is involved, what is the capacity?
Yeah. No, thank you very much. For the benefit of the listeners, maybe the correct pronunciation of my name would be BC Europe.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for correcting me.
No, it's fine. Not many people get it right. But thanks for having me on this platform. Just to backtrack a little bit on why we are doing these renovations. About 2-3 years ago, we find ourselves in a situation where there was serious congestion at the Hosea Kutapo International Airport, both on the land side and also on the air side. And that congestion has really caused a lot of headache and frustration to our customers. People would queue up. There will be congestion of the aeroplanes on the air side. And it was just a serious inconvenience for our people to go through our airports. Now, as a result of that, that was the first reason. The second reason was that when ICAO came to do our security audit, they also found quite a number of shortcomings and non-compliances at the airport. And the reason for us to have gone the route of doing these innovations is really to address those two issues. One was the congestion challenge, and then the second one was to address the non-compliance issues that were identified by ICAO. The project started towards the end of 2019, and we are due to have full completion by end of July this year. What we have done is we have refurbished better part of Terminal 2, which is the general commercial terminal. And then we'll also do some changes on the VIP terminal, which is Terminal 1. One of the findings by ICAO were that the international travelers and domestic travelers were mixing in the process, which is obviously against the convention. Therefore, as part of this project, we will ensure that there's a clear separation between the domestic travelers and the international travelers, to the extent that we'll now take the domestic terminals from Terminal 2, which is a general commercial terminal, to the current VIP terminal. Okay. So the VIP terminal will then be divided into the VIP section and the domestic section, but this will be distinctly different, so there will be no mixture of travelers. So that is what we hope to achieve at the end of the day. Since you were here last time, when you came, we were almost in the initial stages of the project. Now, we are almost 90% complete with the project. Most of the work in the check-in areas has been completed. In the departure lounge has been completed by and large. Work has started at the VIP terminal. We have put up a new arrivals hall. We have expanded the baggage collecting area. So we have done quite a lot, and it looks quite busy now and very, very beautiful. So we are very happy with the progress that we are making, and we are very happy with, obviously, the team that is working on the project.
What will be the capacity from the, you know, and the previous to the new one now?
Yeah.
How many passengers are able to process, in a year?
Before COVID, we were doing about just over 1 million passengers through the Osogodoko International Airport per year. With this expansion, or renovation rather, we are looking at 1.8, close to 2 million people. And we anticipate that this can carry us for the next 5 to 10 years, after which we'll definitely be forced again to have a serious look at our capacity. And there are discussions ongoing to really look at putting up a completely new terminal that will meet international standards, that will have more space, more capacity, and more commercial space.
That's in the same airport?
That will be on the same, at the same airport, yes, but a different terminal, but at the same airport.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the very not very pleasant news that we all, woke up, or we knew that was coming, was the liquidation of Air Namibia. And as an airport operator and you having a flat career, obviously, meant a lot in terms of airlift, in terms of tourism, etc. Do you think that even now that you're putting some investment in this refurbishment and coming on the heels of the fact that now you've finally liquidated Air Namibia, it's a challenge to you as an airport company, much more so as a CEO or the leader of the group?
Yes, indeed. It's always a proud thing to have your national career.
Okay.
When you travel internationally, let's say the Frankfurt Airport, and after having spent 2-3 weeks in Europe, and you get to Frankfurt Airport and you see that flag, then that pride just sinks in. It tells you that I'm going home. I'm closer to home.
Okay.
And I'm flying home with our own. So it is a very sad thing what Air Namibia is currently going through. But in business environment, there are ups and downs. And as a country, I'm sure that we are learning a lot of lessons from what Air Namibia has gone through at the moment. The liquidation of Air Namibia is a serious challenge for us in many ways. Firstly, Air Namibia was the main carrier domestically. Air Namibia connected Windhoek, which is the capital of the country, with most of the domestic destinations. With it not being in the picture anymore, travelers are having serious challenges in terms of traveling within a country. Of course, another local airline has taken the space, but they are not completely fulfilling or filling the gap that was created by Namibia. So that is the first challenge that we have domestically. And that means that people have to drive long distances. It's a serious inconvenience for many people. So that's a challenge we have. Also, regionally, it's a challenge for us because Namibia used to connect Windhoek with quite a number of capital cities in the SADC region, Lusaka, Harare, Gaborone, and so on. With the demise of Namibia, that connection is not there anymore. It means we have to fly via Johannesburg or via Ethiopia, for example, Addis, to connect to other destinations in the region, which is, again, a serious inconvenience. It's costly. It's time-consuming. Internationally, equally, the same problem.
Yes.
So the match of Air Namibia has been a problem for us. Fortunately, we continue to engage with the other airlines to fill the gap that has been left by Air Namibia. We engage with the European airlines. Specifically, we have Eurowings that's now flying to Namibia. We have Condor coming now. And then, of course, we have ET, Ethiopian Airlines, or Airways, that is also connecting Windhoek with the rest of Africa. But that's not enough. And I am really looking forward to a point where we can have another national airline coming up. We are working as an airport company together with other key stakeholders, like the tourism board and others, to lure some of the airlines to come to Namibia to fill that gap. But it is a serious inconvenience for us.
What, of course, now you've enumerated well the challenges, but what are the opportunities that it provides for other investors? Is there an investment appetite for Namibian, Namibian airport company?
Yes, investment appetite for the Namibian airports company, the aviation industry, and the country at large is there. As the industry, the aviation industry that is, as a government, we have taken a deliberate decision to try and position Namibia as a logistics hub. Now, what that means is the government and the country must create an environment where investors feel comfortable and confident to come and invest in this country, specifically in the transport sector, but with focus in this instance on the aviation sector. That's why we are making the investment that we are making at Jose Gudagwe Airport. I have indicated that in the not so far distant future, we are looking at putting up a third terminal at Jose Gudagwe Airport. Now, obviously, that means that we should get feed through the terminal. We should get new airlines that are coming through a terminal. So we are working very closely.
Are there discussions ongoing with respect to having another airline or a national airline?
Well, discussions are ongoing. It's probably a bit early to be specific, but there are discussions ongoing, both at the government level, but more specifically in the private sector. There are a couple of private sector interested parties, both local and international. In fact, as we finish this interview at 3 o'clock, I have a group of people who are coming, international investors, who just want to come and talk about their investment appetite in the aviation sector. So those discussions are ongoing, and I'm confident that we can probably see some positive developments in that regard.
Okay. Now, of course, I mean, like you said earlier, you've put up this new airport, this refurbishment, it costs a lot of money. How do you intend to recoup that investment? Because, like we know now, we've seen that it is not enough to just concentrate on aeronautical revenues. What are the non-traditional revenues that airports use, as a way of, closing the gap?
Yeah.
How do you intend to then now use this new airport, to raise other revenues?
Yeah.
All the traditional ones that we know of, in the aviation space.
Yeah. No, thank you. Thank you for that. When we took the business decision to do this refurbishment, it was pre-COVID COVID time.
Yeah.
Obviously, things have changed significantly with COVID. But as part of our planning, we were conscious of the fact that we cannot only continue to rely on aeronautical revenue. Unfortunately, until now, our aeronautical revenue has been disproportionately high compared to the non-aeronautical revenue, and we are conscious of that.
Okay.
For that reason, as part of our planning, we have provided for a couple of commercial facilities in this new building to lure business people to come and operate from the airport, to set up some shops, to have some restaurants. So in that way, we anticipate that our local revenue will go. Obviously, we are also working with the car rental companies. We have, in fact, gone out on a tender to have, I think we have about 5 or so car rental companies at the airport, to have a sixth one. So these are some of the efforts that we are doing. One of the things that we're also doing is we want to promote the aviation sector amongst the Namibian people. So we, again, are making plans to ensure that we encourage tours, school tours, business tours, to come to the airport so that people can be educated on that. And as part of that, we'll again have some restaurants and some facilities where these people will come and enjoy and probably spend a bit of money in order to boost our revenue that is not aeronautical.
Okay. Now, you know, during our last conversation last year, you mentioned, and you're very specific on that, that Namibia Airports Company, and you know, as a matter of fact, Namibia, saw the strategic positioning as a way to position itself with the logistics market, cargo operations.
Mm.
Now, we saw that during COVID and now in transition, cargo has been a big, you know, part of the aviation revenues. Are you still on that, you know, idea of using your airport or Namibia as a logistic hub?
Yes, very strongly so. Namibia broadly. I'm encouraged by the commitment that has been shown by our political leaders in the past few days, where we convened yet another engagement with all the players in the transport sector to again push this concept of pushing Namibia as a logistics hub. So the idea is really gaining momentum. Namibia is extremely well located, both in terms of linking with Southern Africa, but also with South America, directly to the Northern Hemisphere, but also to the Far East. So that idea is still there. And being a very small economy of 2.5 million people, mainly import-driven economy, we are saying that let us change that picture. Let us look at one, being a logistics center, meaning encourage business investments to come here, do assembling, do production here, and then export things. So that idea is still there, and we look forward to really make it work. It's a long-term vision. It's not something that will happen overnight, by virtue of the economy that is not so big.
Okay. Now, to the traveler, you know, and the tourists, and whoever is traveling through your airport, I mean, I think you have a number of airports here, Walvis Bay, and, you know, some airstrips, you know, across the country. What does the newly refurbished international airport mean to the traveler? What is going to change?
Well, a couple of things. Number one, we are looking at travel experience. A traveler will come, and the days of congestion in queuing will be gone once this project is done. So the traveler will come conveniently without any frustrations, check in with his time, and then just hang around at the airport leisurely. Number two, just the facade, the view will be significantly different. It will be a modern airport. We are working with our customer service teams, both the airport company staff, but also the staff of the other agencies like the immigration, the police, and so on, to up our game in terms of customer service, so that we can give a not forgettable customer experience to our customers to come through. And we will have modern equipment so that people don't have to struggle. So it will be a completely new experience for our customers. There'll be speed in serving the customers. They don't have to stand in long queues. They will come, they will be served, and then they'll go on. What we are doing with this change or this refurbishment is that we are increasing the number of check-in counters, basically doubling the number of check-in counters. We are increasing the security screening facilities. We are increasing the immigration checking points. And more importantly, we are also increasing some commercial space. So there will be more duty-free facilities. There will be more restaurants, modern restaurants. So it will be a pleasant experience for our travelers to go through our airport.
Okay. Let's go back to the whole airport plan. Your airport is about 35 kilometers from the city.
45 to be exact, yeah.
45?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm. I mean, obviously because you have good roads, so connecting with the airport to the main city is very seamless.
Yeah.
But do you have a future plan of building an aerodrome city or something like that?
Yes, that's as part of our domestic hub concept. That is something that we are looking at. And when we build this third terminal that I referred to earlier on, we are looking at not only putting up a normal airport terminal building, but we are saying what else does what other infrastructures are there? We should have a modern hotel there in that area. We should have a modern meeting facilities. We should have some logistic facilities and so on. So the idea is that we really build a airport city around the current airport to ensure that the travelers don't necessarily have to come into the city. If you are there on a short-term basis for a few hours, you must still feel the warmth of Namibia by enjoying the facilities that we'll be putting up.
In terms of your partners, how are you collaborating with them to ensure that Namibia is receiving the traffic, you know, to help in, you know, tourism growth and general economic development? How do you work with the tourism board, with the immigration, and all of that?
We, in fact, have got a couple of platforms where we participate as members. More specifically, during the COVID period, we have been active players in the tourism revival team, task team that was put together to specifically look at how do we lure our tourists back. So we are active participants in that space. We also work very closely with the police, for example, to ensure that when the customers come through, they have got pleasant experience. But more importantly, we work very closely with our airlines. And the current airlines that are currently flying to Namibia to make things easier for them in terms of possible softening of the cost for them to do business at our airport. We are in discussions through various structures of the government also in attracting other airlines. There are 2-3 serious international airlines. It's probably too early to name them.
But at least you're looking at 2 or 3 airlines who
We international airlines that will come, but also our South African-based airlines that have stopped flying because of COVID and because of the commercial challenges they are facing. We have got active discussions. I can specifically refer to the British Airways Comair. I had a discussion with them yesterday. Hopefully, in the next 2-3 months, they will come here. But there are also international airlines who wants to come here. So we are very positive that by the end of this year, things will be completely different from what they are now. We encourage people to go for the vaccine because it's important. We want people to start developing confidence again in the flying business. Many people are scared. Many people feel that they will catch a disease. So what's important is really for us to make people at ease, that take the necessary precautions, take the vaccine, and then people can then do the normal business as before COVID.
Okay, so you know, as a head of the airport company, that looks very much responsible for air travel that come here. What will you tell travelers who are looking to come here, because Namibia is hosting the UNWTO's brand conference, Africa conference, in June. What should they expect? Experience and any other thing that they're flying in now?
Yeah. I would expect them to come and enjoy broadly first the hospitality of the Namibian people. It's a peaceful country. We are known as soft landing in Africa in many instances. For many people who have got their doubts in traveling to Africa, they must come here and taste how good Africa is, but with a little bit of European flair also, that they can come and enjoy. In terms of the experience at the airport, we will ensure that they have a very pleasant airport experience, that they will process through very safely and quickly, and that they will come to Windhoek. Namibia has got beautiful tourist destinations. You can go to the dunes in the desert. You can have a game experience. And you can just have a beautiful scenery all over the country. And of course, also very friendly people of Namibia will welcome them here. So it will be a great pleasure for us as Namibians to welcome our visitors to our country. And from the day they landed at Hoshagudago International Airport to the formal engagements in Windhoek. And of course, I would encourage them to not only come for the days of the formal engagement. I would like them to take a few more days.
Arrive earlier
and then explore the country.
Yes.
And the country is a huge country, so you have so
Land
many options.
Yeah.
Land of the brave, you have so many options. So please do come and enjoy our hospitality.
Mr. Bizzi, as we wrap up, tell us more about yourself. Your own journey into aviation and you know, how you grew up and all of that.
Yeah, I regard myself as a village boy. I grew up in the village. I was born in the village. I grew up in a village of about now 2,000 people. I love that village until now. But I'm in fact a qualified school teacher.
Okay.
I trained as
That's
a school
knowledge.
Teacher. Yeah. But then realized very early in my career, a school career, that maybe I shouldn't stay here for too long. Of course, I've always believed that I must serve. And then I've had very good experiences working in different industries. I work for the Central Bank and I work for telecommunications. And then my last assignment before I came here was at the NAMPORT, which is the Seaport Authority for Namibia.
Okay.
I headed up that facility, and that is really where my love for logistics and transport came. I headed up our ports in Namibia for 10 years, and we have significantly transformed that organization to being a very respected port authority in Southern Africa. During my time there, I also headed up the African Association for Ports, Southern African Association of Ports and SEFT, or the International Association of Ports and Harbors. So really, I believe that transport is an enabler for business to grow, and for the economy to grow. And that is why when the opportunity came for me to come to the airport and the aviation industry, I didn't hesitate to come here and just continue what I started with at the maritime site. So it was not a very difficult transition for me to come here, because I appreciated the transport sector, appreciated the value that transport sector can add to the economy.
Okay.
And but on the other hand, aviation sector is also unique in its own way. Very, very strong compliance requirements, very different way of doing business from the port sector. But all in all, both of them are aimed at ensuring that we facilitate economic growth in our country.
What do you do if you're not running around at the airport, boardroom, meetings, etc.? What's a family life like? Family life or social
family
life, leisure life?
Yeah, no. I'm a family man. I've been married for 32 years.
Ah, super.
I've been married for 32 years with four children. But outside my formal engagement, being in board meetings and running around the airport, I have developed serious love for farming.
Okay.
So I'm into farming. I farm with cattle by and large. Of course, I have got some small stock goats and sheep.
Okay.
And recently, my wife and I have said we cannot just eat meat and market meat. You know, we've got a huge piece of land.
Okay.
So why don't we look at other options? And we're also looking at citrus farming. So we slowly also getting into that. So outside my work, I spend a lot of time with family, giving attention to my farm, and I'm also a practicing Christian, if that matters.
No, it matters.
So I get
really
strength. I get strength from my relationship on that front as well. By and large, that's me. I have a very deep love for this country. I believe that we can do a lot as a country and as a nation.
In a minute, I know it was my last words, but in a minute, what will be a legacy that you want to be remembered for someday as a head of the airport company?
That I have developed people to take this company forward, but also develop them in the personal capacities to be better persons after they met me and then before they met with me. I'm passionate about people development and capacity development for people. So yes, that is what I would like to be remembered for.
Mr. Abisira, thank you so much for your time. Next time we are here, we'll go to your farm and have some dry.
Thank you. You are most welcome. You are most
thank
welcome.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
All right.